The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with LeBron's biggest test out west. Do the Nuggets possess the Kings' kryptonite? Plus, the matchup that will decide everything. Can AD stop the Joker? And is that the only way the Lakers will win? And oh, the disrespect. Brand new power rankings are out. And is it possible that Rodgers and the Jets will miss the playoffs? Hey, what's up? Welcome to Get Up. I'm Brian Custer.
Come on now. Come
in
on
for
now.
Greeny.
Come
on. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Listen, we're playoff ready. Take a look at who I got in the house. I got Alan Hahn in the house. I got RC. I got my
friend. To talk basketball.
Yeah.
Fired up.
Got the future Hall of Famer, Vince Carter. And you know what? We got to talk some football as well. We got Tim Hasselbeck. We got Jeff Darlington with us as well. But guys, let's start with some hoops. Because game one between the Lakers, the Nuggets, it's tonight. ESPN, LeBron seeking his 11th finals appearance. Only Bill Russell, Sam Jones have been to that many, and the only franchises with more, Lakers, Celtics, and the Warriors. You know, the King, he enters this series averaging 23 points, 10 boards, 5 assists this postseason. He's coming off that 30-point game in the series-clinching win over Golden State. All right, so how important is tonight's game? Well, LeBron has won the last 20 series in which his team has won game one. That includes the series in these playoffs where LA stole the home court. Here is LeBron.
Well, what's the biggest difference between level 3 and level 2? I'm trying to communicate to the guys.
Well, I mean, as hard as we thought level 2 was, it'll be even harder, you know, this round. And that doesn't take anything away from GS because that was, I mean, I don't know. I've had my battles with that franchise, so I know how hard it is. But, you know, as you continue to get up into the numbers, and, you know, like you said, level 3 is just a very difficult challenge.
And at level 3 is the top seed in the West.
Why does this sound like a video game? And like we're getting to like
different
Bison
levels
at the end of Street Fighter.
Yes.
You're talking about this in a totally different way. Like this is sports. Like this, and we understand now you're about to play the number one team in the West, and Denver got to get that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. So if that's the case, then Alan, why does you think this LeBron run that feels different for you?
Well, first of all, this is like what, after Bald Bull, right? Is that what we are right now when it comes to in Punch Out, right? But it feels different, and I've talked about this on this show before, and I feel like this is really live watching LeBron's version of The Last Dance. This is a doc that we're watching live instead of 25 years later because of the story that is behind this whole thing. Remaking the roster late, the 2-10 start, and how it looked like Bron was just, this was, maybe it was over for him. He was not going to win another championship or play for another championship, but instead they rebuild the roster around him. They don't put in vets like he always used to have, younger players instead, hungry players, defenders. They're all guys who also are wanting to play for him, wanting to win for him, and he's become, dare I say, the dad of the group, sort of that guy that's overseeing everything. I'll help you when need to, but Anthony Davis is the star. He's the one that's got to carry us. And every other night, there's always a Lonnie Walker or an Austin Reeves or somebody that shows up and can be a star, and LeBron is happy for it. There's just something, he's been the villain before. Dare I say that this might be the first time the country can be decided with the Final Four teams that this might be the favorite team to win the championship?
I think a lot of people are pulling for LeBron in this one. How do you view?
This is different. This actually isn't LeBron's run. I think that's the difference between The Last Dance with Michael Jordan and this. Like we already talked about it, the fact that it was about going get younger, hungrier defenders, guys that can run the floor, dudes like Austin Reeves ascending, and us now seeing him as a household name, a dude that could go out and get $80 million
or
in his next contract.
Like
all of, exactly. Or Lonnie Walker finishing the game. Mm. And then we get to hear one of LeBron's great revisionist lies. I told him, you know how LeBron will say, hey, that's my favorite saying right there. LeBron was like, I told him to stay ready because I knew he'd score 15 in the fourth quarter against the Golden State Warriors, right? When you look at this team, It's comprised differently than we've seen other LeBron teams that have made a championship run. What this does, though, this adds to the greatest career we've ever seen in basketball. That's what LeBron James is doing. And we saw him, whether it was finishing against Dylan Brooks late or what we saw in Game 6 against the Golden State Warriors, he now knows when and how to pick his spots, and he's going to have to do this against this Denver Nuggets team that I believe is a better team front to back than the Lakers are.
And you know, Vince, it's one of those runs where it's not all about LeBron. It's almost like he's been picking his spots in different games. It's been about other guys.
And I think that's the growth of LeBron, because he's used to being that guy. Having the ball in his hand, I'm going to dictate how this is going to turn out. Now he's empowered Anthony Davis to be the guy. You're alpha dog number one, and allowing other guys to have the ball. And, you know, Draymond said it best. We're trying to figure out how to guard LeBron off the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Like, off the ball. This is another version of him being able to sit back and say, Austin Reeves is capable.
Yes.
Let me allow him, empower him to be that, because we're going to need him down the road when I don't have it. And that's what we're seeing. Like, when he has it, okay, you guys don't have it? Power up. I power up. I become LeBron James that we know.
But he puts the suit on.
Exactly. Right. But until then, he's allowing these guys to make mistakes, because you're not gonna understand how this works, and you're not gonna have experience until you go through it. And he understands they have to go through it by allowing them to be putting in the fire.
That's what I mean about the dad thing, because a lot of times with a dad, like, the first thing you want to do is do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you realize that how can you ever learn if I don't let you try and then see what you can do? And that's what I think we've seen with the evolution of this team. But, you know, again, let's just indulge me on the idea of this being a live docuseries, because of all the episodes we're talking about, the 2-10 start, how ugly things were in the midst of that season. They make all the trades. Him getting injured, which that looked really bad. Dylan Brooks calling him old, calling him out, talking trash to him to a point where, wow, is he that old that guys are disrespecting him like that in front of his face? Overcoming that, having to face Steph Curry, who seemingly owned him in the postseason, that if Steph Curry beat him again, there were some people, not me, but some people that were like, hey, if Steph beats him again, does Steph move ahead of him in this generation if he wins another championship and all that stuff? Beating them, and now, of course, this is the toughest team that they're going to face. Just getting to a finals, what a story this would be for LeBron James.
So if that's the case, then where would that rank when you talk about LeBron's career accomplishments? Because in essence, what you're saying is they knocked off the top two seeds in the West and the defending champions.
Yeah, but you see, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. When you look at this Memphis Grizzly team, you're down Steven Adams, you're down another big. It was a different team than we'd seen the entire season, and it also was a team that had no true leader.
Right.
There was no OG in that locker room that had any control over those personalities, and you're going against LeBron James, one of the greatest players to ever live. I mean, that script was written, and you could see the writing on the wall. And though Golden State found a way to beat Sacramento, that ain't Golden State. Right, that ain't the
team. They even said they weren't going to.
Yeah, that ain't the team that won the championship the year before. The Lakers are taking care of the business that they should have taken care of as this team is constructed right now. This isn't the team that started the way they did. And so when I look at what this means for LeBron, it's kind of like his least impressive championship, if you're asking me. And It's because
beating the Thunder was the least impressive championship.
Well, in the sense, though, in beating the Thunder, that was the championship LeBron James had to go out and win.
Yeah, but
right?
That was the championship.
Yeah, that was the championship you had to assemble a team to win. And even though Dwayne Wade was the leader of that team, LeBron James was the best player in the world.
Right.
LeBron James ain't the best player in the world anymore. LeBron James isn't the player that I listened to y'all talk all last week needs to show up for him to win.
Right.
LeBron James was the dude that Wendy was saying, LeBron has nothing left. He has no legs. And it was true. He couldn't go from one night, kill you and give you 30 plus, take a day off and come back and do the same
thing. When you say,
and so that's why it's the least impressive to me from him individually, personally.
But I mean, but the story though, because obviously when he took the Cavs, you know, when that Cleveland, this is
that's
for
the greatest.
You, that moment.
That is the greatest.
That, of course, is
being down 0-3.
Because what it meant, obviously, you know, it's a hometown team. It's unfinished business because of how he left going back. That would probably never be replaced as the best championship for him. But this one, because of the story.
Who's the villain?
That's my point. He always was the villain.
But who's the other one? Right? Like, so whenever we have these championships and we have a guy, right, we have a guy that's the star. We have a guy that we're rooting for.
Yeah.
And then the other guy is the villain. The other guy is the antagonist. There is none, right? There's nobody else you're attached to in the world that's playing basketball anymore. And I think that's why when we watch this, and we're going to watch the championship, because it could be Lakers and Celtics, or it could be Heat and Lakers again, or Denver wins, and we're going to be like, oh, yeah, it's cool. But it isn't that type of enthralling that you're watching to the last shot of every game because you want to see if this dude now takes the throne. There is not that's not happening this season, and I think that's why, to me, it's not as impressive.
Vince,
but I'll say this. I think coming from 2-10, and we can sit here and honestly say there's no chance in the world. And shout out to Rob Pelinka because he was on Murderer's Row.
Yeah, real MVP.
Yeah. As far as,
you're right.
Are you going to make a change, or are you going to sit here and let this happen? You know, some people saying, yeah, just let it ride out until the summer. And no, he said, we're going to do it now. Now, once you get this new group, you have to make it work.
Yeah.
And I think LeBron deserves a lot of credit for that. Goes back to what I was just saying. Empowerment and allowing growth to his young guys. Because if not, they're not here because Austin Reeves doesn't have the confidence to go out there and, LeBron, no, I got it. You go over there. I'll make a play for you. And he said, okay. That doesn't happen because that's never been LeBron's thing.
Well, I tell you what, obviously these guys, Western Conference Final, it begins tonight. We got to pivot to hockey.
I like that.
I see what you did.
I like that.
Couple of teams trying to get to the Western Conference Finals. How about Game 7, Kraken, Stars, winner faces the Golden Knights in the Western Conference Finals. We pick it up under 5 minutes to go in the second period. And Roope Hintz forces the turn. I mean, this is easy money here. Knocks it in. His ninth goal makes it 1-0 Stars. But let's get under 8 minutes to go in the third. Same score. Stars dump the puck. Kraken's in. No icing as Wyatt Johnson gets loose. Just backhands that thing. Look at that.
Off his face.
Off the face.
Your face.
Off your face. Fourth goal of the playoffs. It's 2-0. Under 30 minutes to go. Third period. Same score. Stars win the faceoff but lose the puck. And Oliver Bjorkstrand scores it, makes him pay. Bjorkstrand able to cut the lead. That's his fourth of the postseason. It's 2-1. Kraken win the faceoff here late. Vince Dunn, his shot is stopped. They clear it. How about the Stars? They're heading to the Western Conference Final. That means a date with the Vegas Golden Knights on Friday. Game 1 on ESPN. So, four teams remain in the chase for the Stanley Cup. Hurricanes, the betting favorite after entering the postseason with the fourth shortest odds. You can catch, again, Game 1, Stars, Golden Knights, Friday, right here, ESPN and ESPN+. All right, coming up, oh, the disrespect. Brand new power rankings are out, and is it possible Aaron and the Jets will miss the playoffs? Plus, will it be a brow wow night tonight against the Joker? Anthony Davis, what he must do for the Lakers if they're going to get to the Western Conference Final. You're watching Get Up here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up. I got my man RC with me. So we're going to go through some NFL burning questions. Let's start with how Lamar Jackson is going to adjust the new OC Todd Monken's offense.
You know, this is the question that will, I think, basically dictate what we see from Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens as a team in totality. If they can expand this pass game, if you could see Lamar Jackson ascending into the top tier of passers, added to that athleticism with Odell Beckham Jr. on outside, Rashad Bateman, we all know what Mark Andrews is, and J.K. Dobbins in the backfield. This could be the team facing the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship. And also Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. If we are going to see the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson become a contender, then the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that's been to the AFC Championships the last two seasons and haven't quite gotten over that hump to get that Super Bowl ring, where does that put them? We know that they're going to be working on Joe Burrow's contract. He has players on the outside that can make huge plays. And Lou Anarumo and that defense have been great in the playoffs. Can they finally make that run to the championship and come home with that ring? And lastly, but not least, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. And, oh, see, y'all tricked me. Y'all threw Aaron Rodgers up there, and then Philadelphia came in, and we got it right. I was trying to pivot and make an adjustment. But the Philadelphia Eagles, we watched Howie Roseman go absolutely super Saiyan in the draft this year, making trades, getting DeAndre Swift, adding him to the backfield, moving up and getting two of the best defensive players in the entire draft in the first round from Georgia. And we know what Jalen Hurts can do, and that's why he got the big payday. Which team in the NFC is now going to step up and find a way to compete against them, because they are clearly the number one team in the NFC?
Well, RC, looking at the ESPN NFL power rankings post-draft, the Jets check in at number 12. That ranks eighth among AFC teams. All the teams ahead of them made the playoffs, you remember, last season. Gangrene, of course, has the sport's longest active playoff drought, alas, making it to the postseason 2010. Okay, so are you buying then that the Jets are the 12th best team in the NFL?
No, I don't buy that. I mean, when you look at the New York Jets last year with subpar quarterback play, they were a team that was in contention for the playoffs in the AFC the entire year. This is a defense that I felt was Super Bowl caliber last year, and now you give them another year under their belt. A guy like Sauce Gardner ascending into his second year that was already a first team All-Pro player. Quinnen Williams up front in that Aaron Donald, Chris Jones conversation, and you add Aaron Rodgers to the offense. You bring over a new offensive coordinator. You get some of those pieces he's used to, and then Garrett Wilson being in his second year as offensive rookie of the year. I think this is a team you could see contending to win the AFC East, and once they get rolling, because it's not necessarily how they're going to start the season,
right,
it's the way that they continue to gel, form that chemistry, find ways to play together. This is a team that could be one of the best in the entire NFL once the playoffs roll around.
Tim, that means they're the eighth best team in the AFC. I know they're loaded. What do you think?
Well, I think they're really good. I don't know that we're giving the Jets enough credit for landing Aaron Rodgers. Here's why I say that. You know, Ryan said subpar quarterback play last year. They threw as a team 15 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. The New York Jets were handcuffed by terrible quarterback play. Aaron Rodgers had a broken thumb in a disastrous season. He threw 26 touchdowns and 12 picks. Look, you just look over the last five seasons, like who Aaron Rodgers really is. He's thrown 142 touchdowns and 27 interceptions. He has been remarkable at throwing touchdowns and not turning it over. When you do that and you combine it with, as RC said, a championship caliber defense, listen, you could beat anybody. Like, if you do not turn the football over and you are really playing good defense, you're going to be tough for anybody to beat. And so, no, I think they're ranked too low. I think they're going to be a hard out for everybody they play. It'll be a big game each week because you're facing Aaron Rodgers and his team with all the hype. But that's the reality.
All right, so then, Jeff, where you stand on this? Because Greeny's already reserved his spot at the Canyon of Heroes here in New York City come February. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem for them to be at 12. I could certainly pick teams that I think they're better than in that list, whether it's the Chargers, maybe the Ravens, the Cowboys. But ultimately, I understand it's a difficult exercise. But here's all you need to know. In December of 2022, with four games remaining, do you know where we as ESPN had the Jets in their power rankings? Number 12. You cannot tell me that the Jets right now are not better than they were with four games to play in 2022. To Tim's point, this is a scenario where we're not giving Aaron Rodgers' addition enough credit. We gave Tom Brady the credit when he went to the Bucs. We knew they would be better. We're not assuming that the Jets will be good enough with Aaron Rodgers. They absolutely will.
That's such a great point, though, Jeff, because though many of us believe Aaron Rodgers, along with Patrick Mahomes, from a skill set standpoint, is probably the best quarterback we've seen in the history of the game. We don't attach winning to Aaron Rodgers the way that we attach winning to Tom Brady. The way that Mike Evans felt once Tom Brady was inside the building, we have a shot to win the Super Bowl. I don't think the outside perception of Aaron Rodgers is high enough on what he can do at the position.
Is that because they haven't won, though, in the postseason?
Absolutely. It's because when Tom Brady came over from the New England Patriots after two decades, he had six Super Bowls, and he was already considered the greatest player and the greatest winner to play the position of quarterback in the NFL. And so I think that should add hunger to this team. That should add hunger to Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is there to win a championship. It wasn't just hand-picking the Jets because he felt like he could be courtside with Jessica Alba at the Knicks game. It was about finding a team that can play defense, adding enough places, people, and adding enough spots offensively to give him the skill set he wanted to go win a championship. That's why he's here, and I believe they have as good as a chance of any team outside of Kansas City to do that in the AFC.
But, you know, the Jets, they open up the year with the Bills, and they continue really with a tough schedule, especially those first six games. You take a look at this. Tim, my question to you, what will we say if Rodgers and the Jets get off to a slow start this season?
When you say we, I think what we will do is everyone will collectively be in a full-blown panic if the Jets aren't winning right away. It'll be the top of every show. Obviously, the attention on that team is going to be so significant. Look, that's what will happen. I will say this, though, and Aaron's, you know, famous for his relaxed comments and all of that. I do think with, again, just going back to how good that defense is going to be, I anticipate, and how well I think Aaron ultimately will play. Look, could they struggle a bit at the beginning of the year? Sure. But I would just point to two teams. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that first year Brady was there, they were not on the same page offensively at the beginning of the year, and the defense kind of carried them. You go back to when the Rams won the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. I think he had 17 interceptions or something that year. Like, so it does not have to be perfect for Aaron. People will panic, but that doesn't mean they can't be the last man standing.
What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I think revisionist history is so interesting when it comes to the Tom Brady situation when he won the Super Bowl in Tampa. I don't think enough people remember how bad it was in Tampa through really past the midway point when they dropped three or four games to the Packers. Exactly. Remember that? Tom Brady asking what down it was? This is very clearly a scenario where they were able halfway through to pivot and get themselves back on track. We'll see if if this happens to them, whether they can flip it.
What if they don't, though, Cuss?
I know.
What if they start out hot?
Oh, you know what? In the next hour, we're going to discuss that. Coming up, the matchup that will decide everything out West. Can AD stop the Joker? Is that the only way, though, the Lakers will win this series? Plus, will it be bye-bye Beard in Philly? Why, a Sixers breakup could be on the way. Jay Williams, he's going to discuss with us. It's Get Up here on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back on Get Up, in a matchup that will decide everything in the Western Conference Finals, AD and the Joker. This year will be very different than it was, you remember, in that 2020 Conference Finals. In that series, you know, Jokic only took 17 shots with Davis as his primary defender. That Lakers team also had Dwight Howard, who played really well against Jokic and JaVale McGee. Lakers team doesn't have the same depth. During the regular season, AD, one of four defenders to match up 100 times against the Joker, Davis allowed a 59 effective field goal percentage in 23 half-court matchups. On the flip side, how will Denver attack that Lakers interior? You know, the Nuggets allow opponents to shoot 69% at the rim during the regular season. That's the third highest rate in the league. Back here with Vince, I got Jay Will, I got Alan Hahn here. Okay, Jay, so how does AD need, does he really need to outplay, you think, Jokic to make it, the Lakers to make it to the Western Conference Finals?
Well, defensively, I don't think you're going to see AD guard Jokic a lot in the series. I think you'll see guys like Rui. I think you'll see guys like LeBron James. I think they'll be a little bit concerned about trying to keep AD out of foul trouble. And I do think AD is best defensively when he can kind of play a free safety, maybe come over from the weak side and block shots. He'll get his fair share, don't get me wrong. But you're going to need Anthony Davis to be special. His specialness starts on the defensive end.
Okay.
Specialness, I just made up a word, by the way.
How important is it for the Lakers to establish AD early, you think, in this season?
I think it's
especially
important.
Tonight.
I think it's important to establish AD early for confidence and to set the tone. I think LeBron is going to go out there and set the tone, and he's going to play through Anthony Davis. He's extremely important. I think the success Anthony Davis had in the Golden State Warriors series, when he was dominating, he created open shots for everyone else. He either had to move bodies closer, and you're kind of hesitant to Klay Thompson. Like, you're like, no, but we got to get in. We got to, you know, now Klay is getting over now and having to put a double team, put an extra body on there, and who's getting open? Who's having special nights? And I think they need to establish that from the beginning if they want to have success in this series.
Okay, so then, Alan, if you look at the Nuggets, wouldn't you say is their Achilles heel that AD and the Lakers can take advantage of?
Yeah, well, we showed it there. Second Spectrum tells us so at the rim protection, right? I mean, 70% shooting at the rim. So what you want to do is that first, the Lakers, if they can make threes, which they do at a pretty decent clip here in the playoffs, have to spread out the Nuggets, keep that paint open, and then just attack, attack, attack with Anthony Davis. And you also want to attack Jokic. You want to get him in one-on-one situations as best you can. Find ways to keep going at him and keep him busy. Not really a rim protector, not a great shot blocker, and you want to also occupy him on defense so that it does wear him down a little bit. Don't let his battery recharge on defense because everybody else is doing the work. So the paint is the place that the Lakers need to establish early, and they can do that, obviously, by knocking down those perimeter shots.
So, Jay, we already know that AD is already the focal point of this Lakers squad. My question is then, how many of these signature games do we need out of LeBron?
Is he the focal point?
In AD?
Well, I mean, I think he's one of the focal points. There's been an interesting theme that's been occurring here with Anthony Davis and his arrival.
Yeah.
Is that it reminds me so much of what D-Wade went through with LeBron. VC, remember that time like when like it was like almost like D-Wade was like, no, LeBron, like take the torch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's your team. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're watching LeBron do that with AD. But I do feel like as we get deep into these playoffs, these are the moments that are set up for LeBron.
You saw that in game six where he had 30, he punished. You talk about the shooting percentage at the rim. I think you're going to see a high dosage or a high diet of LeBron James attacking Aaron Gordon, trying to find different ways to get to the rim, because that's their bread and butter. That's where the free throw disparity comes in about, and that's what this team is built on, defense and points in the paint.
I just think I agree.
Okay.
I think LeBron needs Anthony Davis to get off to a fast start.
Agreed. Because I agree.
A higher usage of LeBron, I don't think, is a good idea. We saw him wear down. We didn't get much of him after that overtime victory against the Grizzlies. Yep. He kind of ran out of, didn't have any gas left
right.
mm-hmm. in the next game. So I think it's important for Anthony Davis to get started because LeBron at any time can take over a basketball game. Yeah. When he feels like, no, I got you, but it's my turn. Let me put my stamp on this game.
And you could do that, though. I mean, if I'm AD, I'm watching tape of DeAndre Ayton, and I'm saying, okay, Jokic beat DeAndre Ayton down the court. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I'm going to beat him down the court every single time. I'm going to post early. I'm going to establish myself. I'm going to make him work defensively, which hopefully can take his legs away offensively.
And I'm going to add real fast, putting Jokic in multiple screening actions, but he has to guard multiple actions.
Occupy him.
It's important because in his mind, the lob threat that he's going to get, that Anthony Davis presents, is a real thing. Plus guarding actions coming off. Austin Reeves getting in the paint. LeBron getting in the paint. Mm-hmm. I think that's important.
Now again, LeBron is always the focal point because he's LeBron. He's the brand, right? But in a series like this, in a series that we've seen already in the playoffs for the Lakers, LeBron is that guy that will finish. He's Mariano Rivera. He's the closer. Like, when it comes time to get one, all right, now LeBron shows up and closes the deal. But Anthony Davis needs to be established early and often in this series for several reasons. One, to make sure that he's got it going. And secondly, to keep Jokic busy. So that's why that is the focal point matchup.
Listen, this is why we got Jay Williams in here. He's our closer.
Duke, North Carolina.
He's our closer in here. So if that's the case,
I will humbly pass the baton.
That's why we got
you here. He's Jimmy Carter. I get it.
That's why we got you. To shoot the J.
I can shoot it.
So here's your first question. Should the Warriors run it back? What do you think?
1,000%. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Draymond is special for this team. Klay Thompson, we'll see if they can get somewhat of a discount on him, considering they have the Wiggins contract, the Poole contract. But if you're Joe Lacob, I don't see how you don't have these three players retire wearing Golden State Warriors uniforms. They deserve it. They are the key cogs to the franchise. They should finish their careers in the Bay Area.
How about this? Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler. Who do you trust more? Game on the line.
Hey, bro, I get it.
Hey, BC, you want to take it?
Hey, put it on the table.
Shoot the J.
Okay, look. I love the upside for Jason Tatum. The upside is so explosive.
Yeah.
And when I watch game seven or I watch the fourth quarter of game six, that there's like a Kobe aspect to him offensively that I love. But if you're asking who I trust in the bigger, grittier moments, I'm going to take Jimmy Butler.
How about this one? Should the Sixers and James Harden part ways? What do you think?
I mean, that's up to what James Harden wants at this stage of his career. I mean, look, the things he said about Doc Rivers over the last couple of days have been a little bit troubling, right? I frankly am not sure I see Daryl Morey going a different direction than Doc Rivers. I think Doc Rivers did a hell of a job this year. There are adjustments that he could have made down the stretch. But it all depends upon what James Harden wants his own legacy to be. You know, we always want James Harden to win championships. Maybe James Harden wants to go back to Houston and be that guy that is the pinnacle of the Houston organization and gets his money. I don't know. James is allowed to do whatever James wants to do. But I think that's the question. It depends upon what James Harden wants for James Harden.
Well, here's what our NBA senior writer, Ramona Shelburne, had to say about Harden's future yesterday on NBA Today.
James Harden can become a free agent, which means that you have to decide if you want to give him a four-year contract. You want to lock this in for the next 4 years. And that decision, from what I understand, talking to people around the Celtics, also now becomes tied to the decision about Doc Rivers. Because behind the scenes, from what I told, that one person said to me, it'd be hard for me to see James wanting to come back and play for Doc again. This is going to be a situation where those two decisions are linked.
All right, so that's what Ramona Shelburne has to say. Alan, what do you think? What needs to change in Philly?
One or the other. I mean, it just seems, is it going to be the point guard? Is it going to be James Harden? Or is it going to be the head coach? If you James Harden in his heart of hearts, and Daryl Morey too, Would he want Mike D'Antoni in there again? Because he had his best success with Mike D'Antoni and his offense and the way he runs a team, keeping the ball in his hands. That is something I would keep an eye on.
What do you think, Vince?
Well, the one thing is, what does Joel Embiid want? I think we have to see, have a conversation together, but individually. Like, what do you want? What are we trying to accomplish? Because, yes, I think Mike D'Antoni brings unbelievable opportunities offensively, but I think we still have a discussion about Embiid and his wants.
Shouldn't Embiid say Vince, what he wants?
Vince, can I tell you, I would want a coach that would challenge me to catch the ball on the block. I would want a coach that would say, hey, we can't go 3 minutes and 56 seconds without our MVP not touching the ball. Not getting a shot, not touching the ball.
He had this conversation yesterday.
Shouldn't James Harden know that, though?
Well, yes.
Yeah, that conversation.
Yes, know that.
That's your point guard.
I can't say, though, at times when you get lost in the sauce, sometimes you need a coach like, yo, hold on a second. Come here. Let's go like
this. Hey, we run this play so he can get the ball.
Exactly.
Agreed. Hey.
Hi, Ryan Clark.
This wasn't scripted.
So here's my question. As a football player, right, there's a such thing as when you have these leaders of the team, they take the bullets for the rest of the team. And it would seem to me that like an MVP would have the ultimate bulletproof vest, right? That I can go out and I can say, you know what? I didn't show up. I didn't make the plays when it needed to be made. We had two games to put the Boston Celtics away. And as an MVP, as a guy that's trying to take the next step, I didn't do it. And even if it's not true, even if the rest of the team has to play well, you know what happens when he walks into the locker room? He's the leader, right? He has the cachet to go into Daryl Morey's office and say, I need this. I took those bullets. You know what the leader of the 76ers did? He went Giselle Bunchin. Tom can't throw the ball in, catch the ball. Can't do that. Wes Welker, you're wide open. He can't throw it and catch it, dude. Right? And so imagine if Tom Brady goes out after losing a playoff game and says, oh, shoot, I need everybody else to play. Right? And then you got James Harden now talking about the coach.
But, Ryan, like, I can't – in his defense, though, if you listen to the whole clip, he did say from the beginning he took accountability. Now, he didn't say it demonstratively, but he did say, that's on me. From the first part of the clip, that's on me. Like, I need to be better. We need to be better. So he does do that. It's
but
funny,
then the
though,
truth came
but
out.
Then, he but goes but then the
yeah, exactly.
Like, there's no reason to turn. I thought he should have stopped it right there. But it's funny. Then that's the clip, the last part that goes viral.
Of course.
Everybody's in because he gave them that bait. He shouldn't have done that.
So is this about Joel Embiid more than it's about Doc, more than it's about James Harden? Is it more Joel Embiid and what he is? Is he a franchise player? If he is, act like it.
Can I ask you, who's the spirit animal for the organization? Like, you know, like,
nobody.
They gave him away when they gave away Jimmy Butler and said, we want Tobias Harris as opposed to Jimmy Butler.
There is no dog on that team. And I think you saw that in game seven when Jason Tatum steps up and said, I'm going to take every big shot and make those shots. And there was no one doing that.
And I'll say, P.J. Tucker is one of those guys, but he's not the guy that's contributing with the ball in his
hand. He's not contributing.
Like, he can get in your ear and say, be the dog, be that guy, but will it translate? Yeah. So it is tough, you know, it's tough for the
Well, he did contribute in game seven. I mean, he gave you points right off the bat.
Yeah. Spirit animal is Eeyore. Remember from Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore, oh, bother.
Eeyore is always so sad.
Right?
So
by the way, sad. Huge night. NBA tips off NBA countdown, 7 Eastern tonight, followed by the 2023 NBA draft lottery. Then it's game one, Western Conference Finals. Lakers, Nuggets, 8:30 Eastern. You can see it all on ESPN and, of course, the app.
Shoot the bench.
Coming up, Fly Eagles Fly. Is the gap between them and everyone else in the NFC further than it's ever been? RC has his own power rankings, and it's coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After the NBA Draft Lottery, it's game time in the Western Conference Finals. Tune in to ESPN2 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern for a special playoff edition of the NBA in Stephen A.'s world. You never know which celebrities and NBA stars might show up.
There it is right there.
It's your first time you're using cue cards.
I brought something for you.
There we go.
Give me a 10-day contract, baby.
He play like Snoop Dogg.
Lakers versus Nuggets. Game one with your boy, Stephen A. Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2.
RC's back with us on Get Up. Of course, ESPN Power Rankings are out. So we thought RC has a fundamental list as well. His top five NFC teams as we head into these offseason. Let's start with number one.
Okay, Cus, you know why we started with number one?
Yeah.
Because obviously number one is not a question. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked earlier about what Howie Roseman has been able to do in this offseason. And let's think about his two Hall of Fame careers as the GM of the Philadelphia Eagles. You build a team that goes to win the Super Bowl with Doug Peterson and Nick Foles as the quarterback. And now in your second iteration, you have Jalen Hurts, a team that's totally revamped with Nick Sirianni. And now you've added piece after piece from the University of Georgia, by the way. And you are now setting yourself up to be the representative in the Super Bowl again from the NFC. And at number two, I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers, which is weird. You know why?
Wow.
We just never talk about them. They just keep winning, and they win, and they win, and they play great defense. They run the football. Kyle Shanahan is amazing in diagramming plays, and he can play with, like, any quarterback. And I know it's going to be like, okay, maybe.
But the quarterback is hurt, too.
But Brock Purdy, who got hurt, and we watched him play throughout the season after Jimmy Garoppolo was injured, he had them in a position to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. If not for that injury, if not for losing J.J. after him, you have an opportunity to win. I'm going to go Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, no. Come on.
And now, first off, I'm doing it for the show, B. You know you got to talk
they
about the
Dallas. They should be one.
Hell no, they shouldn't be one. Are you a Cowboys fan?
Yes. They should be one.
Just when I thought we had some good Kappa Alpha size energy. But when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, I think it's a team that decided to stay steady. You go first round, you get a defensive tackle because you need to stop the run.
Yes.
Now we see Micah Parsons is continuing to build himself up to play that defensive end position. I believe Stephon Gilmore is one of the more underrated moves made in this offseason because now you have a guy opposite Diggs that can show him some of the veteran things that has made this guy a defensive player of the year. And I believe that it's huge. At number four, I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
And I know people are going to be like, oh, but it's just Geno. Oh, but it's just Pete Carroll. But you go out and you add Jackson Smith and Jigba in the first round with DK Metcalf, with Tyler Lockett, with us seeing the ascension of Geno Smith to being a very viable franchise quarterback. And now Bobby Wagner is back in Seattle where he always belonged. And this is a team that I expect to be better on defense. But when I watch what they were able to do offensively last year, this is a team that was explosive. And now you think about some of those turnovers created by San Francisco in the first round of the playoff. I don't expect those things to happen down the stretch. They'll finish second in the West, but they'll be one of the top five teams in the NFC. And at number five.
Come on.
I'm freaking fired up about this. The Detroit Lions. Now, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I was pissed off with Detroit in the first round.
Right.
You go running back early. I was like, ah.
Yeah.
Then you go to linebacker that I felt you could have gotten in the second round. And I was like, ah. Then you get the tight end. Now you get the safety. This is a team in the Detroit Lions that found ways to make themselves better. You added pieces on the back end to a secondary that we actually saw gel down the stretch of the season. Jared Goff has made himself a quarterback who deserves another contract in Detroit. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is somebody from his draft class that was full of wide receivers that is showing that he can be an all-pro in the future. I think the Detroit Lions are the team that wins the NFC North.
Yeah, we'd like to see, are they Simba or are they the Lion King this year? We'll see. Okay.
Simba became the Lion King.
Well, that's true. But let's see if they make that transition.
The hyenas are taking over the pride lands.
Tim, you saw the list here. How far, in your opinion, are the Cowboys from the Eagles?
Well, let me just say this, okay? Like, and RC knows this. We've worked together a long time. I am negative. It's so easy for me to, see somebody's list and just, tear it apart. Negative.
We know that.
Okay? Now, here's the thing.
We know.
RC and I also have worked together. Clearly, we've worked together for way too long. Teammates once upon a day back in Washington. Here's the deal. A little post-it note that I wrote down. Okay? Hey, these are the teams. Like, this is my top five list. It's the stinking same thing as RC's list. It's the same exact. I can't. I can't even be negative. Like, that's all I'm about I want to cut you all do my is come off. Tear apart his list.
You go rock the ball. Same list. I love it. Jeff, give me be the voice of reason here. What do you think?
I mean, look, I love the 49ers at two. By the way, post-it notes, are those still a thing? Do we still use those?
Yeah, we do.
Look, the 49ers at two is such a good call. And I think that really it is a matter of number one and number two, and then the rest can all figure it out. Because number one, yeah, obviously the Eagles. Number two, the 49ers, you can look at it one of two ways. You can either look at it as they won with their third quarterback in Brock Purdy because that's how good they were. Or you can look at it as, look, Brock Purdy is the real deal. Either way, you've got to have some optimism going into the season. So I like the list, RC. Wouldn't expect anything else.
Here's the crazy thing, because when we talk about the biggest threat, Tim, I mean, it's been you played the division. It's been like 20 years since they've had a repeat champion in that division. So you know there's got to be a new NFC East division champ. That's why I'm saying it's got to be the Dallas Cowboys.
This reeks of Dallas Cowboy fandom.
Come on, Tim. It's got to be the Cowboys.
My concern on Dallas is – look, like you lose your coordinators. To me, that matters. Like, you look at what they've done offensively, and people can say what they want about Kellen Moore, but when he was there, they were on par with basically everybody. In fact, they were up near the Kansas City Chiefs while he was the offensive coordinator. When you look at points per game, like, I just think that when you make that type of adjustment, that type of shift, it's hard to recover that. It's not just like an even swap. And so I think they're going to miss him. I think that matters. I would also just say this. I believe that there's a Philadelphia Eagles. And then when you go Niners, Cowboys, and you want to run down the list, I think there's a pretty significant gap from the Philadelphia Eagles and everybody else that we want to say is a threat.
And listen, I know that, but you also had an offensive coordinator who was just enamored with points and didn't know how to control the clock. Now your head coach is taking over, a head coach calling plays, a head coach who's won a Super Bowl when he was calling plays.
A head coach that can't figure out when to spike the ball, a head coach that lets a team run a draw when there's 13 seconds, a head coach that can't stop a team from getting penalties. Yeah, that's the guy we know. A head coach, we couldn't see the clock in Los Angeles. It's a brand new stadium in SoFi. I've been there. The clock is huge.
You can just go be ticky-tacky here today. Let's see how you are. By the way, coming up here on the show, 2-10 in the conference finals. Is LeBron's greatest playoff run yet? Has he gone from villain to hero? We're talking about that next.